Morning. Today, excuse me. Ksuvas is Daf Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is learned. Seichanish Masliba Gabriel Bashmua. Started the new Masechta yesterday. We are in Beis Amud Beis, and the discussion of the Gemara revolved around the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a Basula is getting married on a Wednesday. The reason why she's doing so is so that in the event that he has a Tanis Basula, he claims that she's not a Basula. He thought she was, but it turns out that she wasn't. So the next morning, he can go to Beis Din and report to Beis Din that she's not a Basula, and they'll do an investigation and discover whether or not she is or she is not a Basula. And that is where the Masechta starts off the discussion. The discussion continued yesterday in the Gemara regarding the minhag back in the time of the Gemara where they get married. They would do Kiddushin, and then a year later on the anniversary, so they would get married. So once we know that the Chachamim instituted that marriage has to take place on a Wednesday, so the husband has a legitimate claim that, let's say, the anniversary, the one-year anniversary, comes up on a Sunday and a Monday, or let's even say a Thursday, so he could say to her, look, the Chachamim instituted that we need to get married on Wednesday, so we're going to push off the wedding to Wednesday. It's a one-year anniversary, and we should be getting married today, and I should be supporting you starting today, but the Chachamim told us to move it to Wednesday, so therefore, the husband has a legitimate patur from having to start paying off the support to his wife because the Chachamim told us to move it to Wednesday, which then prompted the Gemara to have a discussion of what about other forms of ones? Meaning, what if, let's say, he gets sick and they have to delay the wedding as a result of his illness? What if she gets sick? What if she's paris nida? So what if any of those events happen? So now they're going to push off the wedding. So can he use ones as a claim and say, look, I want to get married today, but it's an ones, and therefore I'm not, I can't, we're going to have to push off the wedding. And it can he delay having to start paying her support? So the Gemara asked a question yesterday. The Gemara spent some time discussing. One version of the Gemara was ones for sure is going to exempt him and he doesn't have to pay support. And then the other side of the Gemara yesterday was not so sure. Okay. Then the Gemara moved on to a discussion of get. Do we say ones by get? So Rava says, no, we don't. Now, later today, we're going to see that Rava takes the other side of the argument, and that is, yes, we do. But right now, we're in the first side of the argument of the Gemara, and Rava says, no, we don't say ones by get. So what does that mean? So as we described yesterday, a person says to his wife, here's the get, I'm going to give it to you, writes the get out, hands it to her, and he says, but the get is only going to be valid if I don't come back within a certain time. All right, let's say 30 days. So he claims that, not claims, he conditions into the get. He writes a condition or articulates a condition into the get. The get's only going to be good if I don't come back. Okay, and what happens? So on the 30th day, so he can't make it back. But for circumstances that are beyond his control, meaning he wants to come back, but an ones has withheld him from having coming back. So what do we say there? So Rava makes the argument, ain ones by get, that we don't tie no ones by get. And so that means that the fact of the matter is that he didn't come back, and therefore the get's going to be a valid get. Okay, that's where we are in the Gemara. What's the source for this halacha of Rava? So that was the end of yesterday's daf. The source for this halacha, so we quoted three Mishnayos in Gittin, and from all three Mishnayos, we don't have a bona fide source, a absolute source for Rava, how he knows this halacha of Einon's Begittin. So we're going to pick it up now from where we left off yesterday, and that is by the statement Elameha. So the Gemara says, so maybe Rava learns it from the following. So we exhausted all the Mishnayos that we could on this topic. The Gemara hasn't found a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're not going to turn to a Mishnah, but we're going to turn to a statement that was made by Shmuel. Elameha, the Gemara says, Dahud Amaluhu. So the Gemara over here gives a case. And the case is where the husband says, here's a get, but the get's only going to be valid if I don't come back within 30 days. So on the 30th day, now he's on his way back, and what happens? So the boat is not in service today. So he was expecting the boat to take him from one side of the river to the other, and the boat wasn't working. So Amalu Chazir Asai, Chazir Asai. So here he is on one side of the river, and he's screaming, and he's saying, I want to come back. Amr Shmuel Lashmei Masya. So Shmuel says, yeah, but is he back? No. And the fact of the matter is that I know he wanted to be back, but he's not back. What about the fact that the boat wasn't working that today? So Shmuel says, it doesn't matter. The get's going to be a valid get. So what do you see from here? That his claim is a claim of ones. It's not a claim of ones, it is ones. He really wanted to come back. Circumstances that were beyond his control prevented him from coming back, but he really wants to come back. So what do you see? Ain on his begin. So maybe this is the source of Rava. It's an interesting source, meaning as opposed to what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, where the Gemara was quoting Mishnah after Mishnah as a source. Okay, Mishnah. But over here, we don't have a Mishnah. Okay, statement by Shmuel. But I guess the Gemara has a... Shmuel says it very confidently. Shmuel sounds like from the Gemara that there's no less manda palig. Nobody argues on the position of Shmuel. Okay. Anyway, so sounds like from the Gemara that, no, it's onis doesn't work. So this will be the source for Rava. The Gemara says maybe it's not a good source. So the Gemara says there's different types of onis. The Gemara says you can't call this an onis. You know what this is like? If I can give an analogy, it's traffic. Okay, it's basically it's traffic, right? What happens? I'm sorry, I got late for the meeting, but traffic. Okay, you have to plan a little bit better. Meaning, no, the traffic's not a good excuse. You know there's traffic, so you were counting on the boat to bring you back, and okay, but sometimes the boat works and sometimes it doesn't. This isn't onus. This doesn't qualify as onus. This is what the Gemara refers to as onsa deshchicha. So it's something which is common. Should have known better. So shani dekem di baile lesnui velo asne. In other words, in the condition, you should have said, you know, let's plan the meeting for 8, but if there's traffic, I'm going to come at 8:30. Like, you need to articulate that. You should have expected traffic, or in this case, you should have expected the boat not to work. So, it's his own loss. Meaning, but don't put this under the category of onis. So, where are we right now in the Gemara? We are looking for a source for Rava. We don't have a source for Rava. To which the Gemara says, we don't have a source for Rava. So, but Rava still maintains, they know this begins. So, how does Rava know this? Rava, this is his own svara. Okay? The Mishum Tznus Mishum Prutzos. And the reason why he makes this argument that there's no onus by Gittin is because you have what we would call, I guess, the mainstream, meaning you would have the center of the bell curve, and you have the outliers. You have the women who are overly tsanua, overly modest, and you have women who are on the other side, overly prutza. So they act in a very free fashion. And the Gemara says, and to take these women into consideration, so Rava says there's no onus by get. What does one have to do with the other? The Gemara goes on to explain. So, Mishum Tznus, Mishum Prutzos. Mishum Tznus, Diyamar Lola Haviget, because think of the Tznus. Meaning, what would be, had the halacha been that we can claim onus by a get? So that means as follows. The husband wrote his wife a get. He says, the get's going to be valid if I don't come back within 30 days. Okay? He goes away. Now, let's say onus is a good taina. What does that mean? It means then that on the 30th day, the husband's not back. So a regular wife would say, okay, the condition was in the get. He didn't fulfill the condition. Okay, good. I can move on with my life. What's the tznua going to say? The tznua is going to say, oh, he was an onus. He really wanted to come back. It must have been that circumstances beyond his control prevented him from coming back. So if we would taina onus by a get, the tznua, the overly pious woman, would wait and wait and wait, even though the 30 days are now long gone, but in her mind she's going to keep thinking there must have been an onus that held them back. And she will then become an aguna. So the Amar lo haviget, the Gemara now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Zimna delo onus. Maybe there will be times when he's not an onus, the Savra da onus, and she thinks that he's an onus, Ume Agna, and she'll become an aguna, the Yasva, and she'll just sit there. So, that's why we have to institute, says Rava, this idea that even though, in reality, onus is a legitimate claim, but the Chachamim came along and removed onus as a legitimate claim. In just a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the big question of the day. Like, there are two big questions of today. The big question of the day, how can the Chachamim do that? Meaning, if in actuality the get is not a good get, how can the Chachamim validate a get that's really not a good get? Stay tuned, the Gemara is about to ask that question.
Is she really an aguna? I mean, she's doing it herself.
Correct.
She could have said
the word aguna used in the Gemara. I mean, we spent the last, you know, last while in Yevamos, 10th, 15th, 16th parakim of Yevamos discussing aguna. Aguna just simply means that she's in a position in life where she cannot remarry. Okay,
she could.
Understood. Yes, it is her fault, but
like somebody else's.
But the halacha is putting her in that situation. And what Rav is arguing is we're not going to, if if we can, we're not going to allow the halacha to put in a position of aguna. But you're right. In other words, it's
not a classic aguna.
Correct, correct. In other words, it's her mindset that's making her aguna. Agreed. And then the Gemara says, umishum prutzos. And then on the other hand, we have the other side of the outliers, and that's, of course, the women who are not snua and just the opposite. And what are they going to say? Diamar lala habigita, let's say that the get's not a good get because he's an ones. He legitimately wanted to come back. Circumstances beyond his control prevented him from coming back. So zimnen da ones, va'amra lo ones. And what's the prutza going to say? He's not back. Right? 30th day? Time's up? Okay. Let me move on. Now, yep. And she's ready to move on. And Va'azlo Mintzavan, she's going to go and marry. V'nimtza get batel. And meanwhile, Ones is a legitimate claim. And the get really is not a good get. And that means that she's a married woman. And she's with another man. And she's producing children with this other man. Ubaneha mamzerim. And her children are going to be mamzerim. Okay, so because of the prutzos and because of the tznuos, so therefore the legislation of the Chachamim is ein ones begitten. That ones is not going to be a good time to buy get, so that means that unequivocally, the man says he's going to come back by a certain time. If he's not back by a certain time, the get is just simply not, the get is a good get, and ones is not going to be a legitimate claim. All right.
If it actually takes place, if she is and she waits, that means if he does come back, the get's...
No, the Gemara on the Tznua, what the Gemara is worried about is that the reality is he has no interest in coming back. But if Ones was a legitimate taina, she would be thinking for years on, yeah, he wanted to come back.
So when does the get actually take effect? Somebody else?
No, when the get will take effect, when the condition is satisfied. And what the point of Rava is that satisfaction of the condition is going to, Ones is not going to be factored in. Meaning, as long as the condition is satisfied, period. End of discussion. Oh, he wanted to come back? Doesn't matter. Which then leads us to the Gemara's next discussion, which is, so you're telling me that really the get's not a good get. And the Chachamim pushed it through. To which now the Gemara is going to ask. This is a big question of today. So the Gemara says, how can they do that? Umi ikamida midaraisa lo lehave get. So that means that really, according to the strict letter of the law, it's not a get. Because again, the get was tied to a condition. He didn't satisfy the condition because of ones, which really gives him an exemption. It's a real patur. So that means the get's not a good get. And how can the Chachamim do that? Because of your women who are overly modest and the women who are overly immodest. So the Chachamim can validate a get that's really minotaur and not valid. And to which the Gemara says, "In yes, they can do that." The Gemara says, "Kol Mekadesh Adai De Rabban Mekadesh," because anyone who is Mekadesh does so with the consent of the Chachamim and Rafkin Rabban LeKedusha Minei. And what the Chachamim could do is Hafkas Kedushin; they can uproot the Kedushin. You take a look at Rashi over here. Critical Rashi. Rashi writes, "Kol Mekadesh." Rashi, "Kol Mekadesh Isha Adashi Inigu Chachme Yisrael." When you're Mekadesh a woman, you're doing so with the tacit consent and approval of the Chachme Yisrael. So be Yisrael who mikacha shiyu kayamim kiddushin. So basically, what you're saying every time you're mikadosh a woman is that I'm doing so, but only assuming that the chachamim approve. Lefi divrei chachamim viyu betalim lefi divrei chachamim ayide gitin sheichshir chachamim. And that means that if a get was given, and the get is quote unquote questionable, what the chachamim do is that they could push the get through because anyway you got married with the consent and the condition of the chachamim. Okay, this part gets a little bit tricky, meaning Afkiina Rabbana Kedushin Minei sounds like what? It sounds like the Chachamim remove the Kedushin. If the Chachamim are removing the Kedushin, so it's not that she's divorced, it's that she never was married. Right. But when you read Rashi, that's not the sense you get from Rashi. Rashi says, and therefore, because of Kol Demekadesh, what happens? So the Chachamim are able to push the get through. So it's a little bit tricky exactly how this is working. But the point of the Gemara is that it works. And by the way, Tosfos says, where do you see this in a wedding? Meaning you go to a wedding and does the husband ever say, I'm going to marry her, but only assuming that the Chachamim approve? So Tosfos says, yeah, absolutely. So good. We all knew this, Tosfos. Even though we didn't know it was Tosos, but we all knew it. So Tosos says, "Lachein Omrim b'shas kiddushin kiddas Moshe v'Yisrael." Absolutely correct, says Tosos. We do say it every time we get married. You say the nine magic words, and they're not magic. They're just simply an affirmation of I want this kiddushin to be chal. even though you're giving her money. Larger discussion. One of my colleagues discussed it recently. The amira, how important the statement, the verbal statement, has to be when you're being mekadesh with money. Okay, but anyway. The Batoso says that yes, that's you are saying it at the wedding. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, according to the laws of Moshe v'Yisrael, which you're basically saying, I'm only marrying with the approval of the Chachamim, and if the Chachamim need intervention, so they have that power to do so. Right, pointed out many times. In Yevamos, we pointed out many times the application of this rule is very, very limited, meaning that the Chachamim will not, without any good reason, just simply uproot a marriage. In other words, they will do so in very limited circumstances, like over here, where there is a get being issued, and the get's a good get, but at the tail end of the condition, there was an ones, so here the Chachamim are able to push the get through because of this principle of called the Mekadesh. But under most circumstances, even like we have observed at the end of Yevamos, like a mamzer, like, why won't the Chachamim use this power of Kol D'Mekadesh to save Mamzerim? Okay, and the reason why is because there's very limited application of this rule of Kol D'Mekadesh.
Fine. This woman marry a Kohen.
So good. So that's an excellent question. And based on the reading of the Rashi, it sounds like no. Meaning, because what Rashi says is, again, yes, there's a removal of the Kiddushim, but really what the Chachamim are doing is they're pushing the get through. So it sounds like it's a get. Sounds like she's a divorcee. I mean, it's an excellent question.
Well, she would be a zoner then.
She, well, that gets a little bit trickier. Because zoner has to be a violation of an isser. Bila's nus is nus, but in other words, to make a zoner, you need a... Right, we discussed this back in Yevamos. You need to be over and alav. Okay.
The word kedas is without an ayin. Is that a different meaning?
Kedas means according to the law of... Right, that's like dati, right?
Religion,
religious. Okay. Well, they're doing both, meaning they're really going back all the way to the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin is really the inception of marriage. Marriage starts at Kiddushin. So they're going all the way back to the Kiddushin, and they're uprooting the Kiddushin. So now the Gemara asks, classic question of the Gemara. We saw this already back in Yevamos, where this is a good review for us. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Teinach Kadosh Bekas Bekadosh Bebiya Michael Amemar. So, Ravina says to Ravashi, look, I understand. The Chachamim have this power if a man's Mekadosh woman with money. Because what's so significant about money? Money, the Chachamim can look at money and reassign what money is. How do Chachamim have that power? We all know the answer. Hefker based on Hefker. Chachamim have that power with money. So when the man hands a woman money, so what the Chachamim could do is, that wasn't Kesef Kiddush. You know what that was? That was a Matana. It just, you know, it was a loan. In other words, they could reassign the money. They could redefine the money. So Gemara says, I understand. But Bia Michael, remember, but what can the Chachamim do with a Bia? So how can the Chachamim can redefine Bia? And the Gemara classically answers, yes, it can. Shaviva Rabban Labiyalasa Bilasnos. The Gemara says, absolutely, the Chachamim can redefine Bia. And the way they can do that is by simply saying that, look, when you were a Mekadesher, I dated the Rabban Mekadesh, and only with our approval. We don't approve. In this particular scenario, the Chachamim do not approve, so therefore they can turn that Bia into a Bia's Nos, not a Bia's Kedushin.
Wouldn't they prevent her from remarrying
the Kohen? Right, that's what the doctor was asking previously. And the answer is that sounds, I don't know, but the answer. But it certainly sounds like from Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, is that the get's going to be a valid get. Afkina Rabbanan is a mechanism which allows the get to be a valid get, but really the get's going to be a valid get. It sounds like she's a grusha. That's what it sounds like. Let's just mention it quickly over here, but we have a lot more Gemara to do, but let's just mention it quickly. Rashi over here quotes his Rebbeim. All right, Rashi does this a couple times in Shas. He quotes his Rebbeim. The Gemara says that Bia Bekesef, the Chachamim can reassign, redefine because of Hefker based on Hefker. That's what we said, and we didn't say that. That's what Rashi said. But then Rashi quotes a different pshat in the Gemara, and that's by his Rebbeim. And Rashi's pshat by his Rebbeim, Rashi does not like it at all. And Rashi's pshat by his Rebbeim goes like this. Well, the Gemara says, I understand how the Chachamim can be mafkia, can uproot the Kiddushin because of the principle by Kiddushin Bekesef, Kiddushin Kesef. How can the Chachamim do that by Kedusha Kesef? So Rashi, quoting his Rebbeim, say, you know why? Because Kedusha Kesef is only a din de Rabbanan, not a din de Araisa. When a man, there are three ways for a man to marry a woman. Kesef Shtar Ubiya. Shtar Ubiya, that's located in the Torah. Where in the Torah? So be patient. We get to the beginning of Kedushin. We're gonna learn again. Where in the Torah describes how you can marry a woman with Shtar and with Bia. But in other words, those work on a Torah level. What about Kesef? How do we know that a man can marry a woman with Kesef? That Kedushin can be affected through money? So that was Gzera Shava. We don't have a Pasuk. We have Gzera Shava. Kicha, kicha, mistei Ephraim. The Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin says. So Rashi's Rebbeim say, that is a din de Rabbanan. So the marriage between a man and a woman that's done through money is a din de Rabbanan. So when the Gemara asked the question, I understand Kiddushei Kesef, what the Gemara meant is, oh, because that's a din de Rabbanan. So I understand how the Chachamim can uproot such a Kiddushin. But if it's Bia, which is a din de Araisa, so that, how can the Chachamim do that? So Rashi says that pshat in the name of his Rebbeim, and Rashi goes a little ballistic. Rashi says that it's a difficult pshat, it's very hard to maintain. First of all, Gzereshav is not a din de Rabbanan. Gzereshav is a din de Araisa. It's one of the Yigam Midos Shator Nidreshes, man, but it's Drush. It's not a Drush, not meaning sermon. Meaning, it's Drush, meaning that's how the Torah is expounded. So that's not a din de Rabbanan, it's a din de Araisa. And Rashi asks a series of other questions as well. Rashi has a very difficult time with his pshat. He's very vocal about his opposition to such a pshat. It's good to note. I'm sure everyone's pointing this out today, that the Rambam, I'm not going to put him on the side of Rashi's Rebbeim, but the Rambam writes the following. Open up to the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, and the Rambam writes over there, there are three ways that a man can be Mekadosh a woman. The Rambam says, I don't have a Rambam in front of me, you'll forgive me, I'm just paraphrasing, look inside. It's the very beginning. The first parak of the Rambam, the second halacha of Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam writes over there are three ways that a man's Mekadosh a woman. Two of them are min haTorah, and one of them is midivrei sofrim. Right, that's the famous line of the Rambam. The two that are min haTorah is bia and shtar, and the one that's midivrei sofrim, that's kesef. Okay, so what does the Rambam mean by that? Okay, you'll take a look over there. It's unclear, but maybe the Rambam is not so far away from Rashi's Rebbeim. Okay, anyway. Back to our Gemara. Ika de Amre. Okay, so, up until this point in time in the Gemara, what have we been saying? That when it comes to ones, ain ones begitten. That if the man connects a condition into his get, and the condition is not satisfied, and even though it was an ones, so the first approach of Rava is, ain ones begitten, there's no ones. Meaning it's not a claim. And the get's going to be a valid get. That's been our first approach. Igadam, according to the second version of the Gemara, we are on Gimel Amid Aleph. We're about 10 lines down. Amaravi v'chein ling and gitten. Oh, same thing is true by get. Just like ones is a valid claim by marriage. And again, ones by marriage means what? That they were supposed to get married on the 1 year anniversary. He got sick, she got sick. Right? Something beyond their control happened. He doesn't have to start supporting her. And they only have to start supporting her only when they actually get married. Okay, that was the ones by marriage. What about the ones by gittin? So according to our second version, there is ones by gittin as well. And amakas of Rava, yesh ones by gittin. So in the second version, Rava goes the other way. Ones is a legitimate claim when it comes to the get. So what are we going to do? We're going to quote all the Mishnayos and the statement of Shmuel again, and seeing whether or not we could support this side of the argument. So, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges with a Mishnah, and Gittin, right, we saw this Mishnah yesterday, the man throws a condition into the get. The get's going to be valid, but only if I don't come back within 12 months. And he dies within 12 months. Ain't no get. That's not going to be a good get. And the Gemara makes a simple diuk. Meisu de no get. That's only because he died. But hachala, but if anything else happened, like let's say he got sick, hariz a get, so that's going to be a good get. So even though he's an ones, but the get's going to be a good get. So So the Gemara deflects. And the Gemara says, no. The truth of the matter is that even if he gets sick, the get's not going to be a good get. What's the mission they're trying to teach us? Just a very basic halacha that there is no get post-mortem. The Gemara says, okay, but if that's the whole purpose of the Mishnah, we have another Mishnah making that point. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the second Mishnah is coming to teach us this to make sure that not only do we know the Engel Achamisa, but we don't even subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu, you remember from yesterday's daf, they were the ones who say that if there's a date on the document, a date on the document makes every get retroactive to the time of the date. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu. What the Chachamim are there to teach us in that second Mishnah, we don't agree with that. Just because there's a date on a document doesn't mean every get is retroactive to the time of the time of the date. Tashma. Gemara quotes another Mishnah. We saw this Mishnah yesterday. If he says the words me'achshav, he actually stipulates that the get's going to be effective when? Retroactive to today. So then, and he dies somewhere in the, somewhere during those next 12 months, the get's a valid get, because the validity of the get goes back to the point of origination, when he actually gave it to her. So my love who adin l'chola. So the Gemara assumes that's true if he dies, and that's true if he's sick as well, right? So the Gemara says lo meis dafka. So the Gemara says no, not necessarily true. Maybe the halach is only regarding when he dies. Why? Because maybe death is something that he wants the get to go through. Why would he want the get to go through? Because he doesn't want her in that awkward situation of having to be forced into a marriage with her brother through the mitzvah of Yibum. And so maybe that's why only by death is the get going to be a good get. Tashma me'ahud amalahu. Gemara says, okay, what about the following? A man says, that if I don't come back within 30 days, it gets going to be valid. And what happened? He came back on the 30th day, and the boat stopped bringing him from one side of the river to the other. The boat broke down. And he's screaming, and he's saying, here I am. And Shmuel's response is, no, doesn't work. Meaning, even though he's claiming ones, it doesn't work. So this sounds like ain ones begitten. So unsa deshkir shani. So the Gemara gives the same answer that we gave at the beginning of today's shir. That is unsa. Sorry about the pause. We just lost light.
Intentionally.
I appreciate that. Do me a favor. Could you just see if the okay.
Okay. No, it's
storm. Probably.
It's
storm. Okay. All right, fine. All right, let's. There we go. We're back. So the Gemara says unsa deshchiach shani. So the Gemara says unsa deshchiach is different. Meaning the Gemara's argument is this is not ones. This is like we compared in the beginning of today's shir. It's like traffic. You can't. Traffic is not a good excuse. In other words, it's something that he should have anticipated. The kevin di bailei listener v'loasne. This is something that he should have taken into consideration. He should have pointed this out. Iudasid anashe. It's he who lost for himself. Okay, I know I went through that quickly, but it's basically a review of what we said over yesterday, just going the other direction. A questioning whether or not, how can you argue that there that ones is a legitimate claim when we seem to have Mishnah after Mishnah and a statement by Shmuel that seems to indicate that ones is not a legitimate claim. And again, the Gemara deflects. So we have two statements by Rava. One is that Ain on his beginning, the other one is Yesh on his beginning, and the halacha adopts like the first version of Rava of Ain on his beginning. Okay. No, that's a different issue. That issue is a question of whether it goes retroactive to the time that it was given or to the time where the condition was satisfied. That's a different issue. The issue over here is, if he doesn't come back, but be due to ones, due to circumstances beyond his control, can that be a legitimate claim? So according to the first version of Rava, no, it cannot be. It's not a legitimate claim. And that's where the halacha sides.
If somebody doesn't want the wife to go to the Hebrew, from
no one,
right?
Well, the easy thing to do is just simply give her a get. But in other words, but in the condition that, in other words, if he sets it, he gives her a get, and he says, I don't come back by a certain time, so then, as long as he doesn't come back for whatever reason, the get's going to be a valid get. But again, if he dies, then there's another consideration. Ain get la chamisa. So then the get cannot be effective after his death. So there, to anticipate death, he has to say, me'achshav. Okay. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Lo Shanu Ela Mitakanas Ezra Ve'elech. We're back to the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? That one day of the week which marriage is allowed, which is Wednesday. Now, probably everyone here in this room observed that's not how we practice. We get married on Tuesdays, on Mondays, right? What about Fridays? I'll get to Friday in just a moment, huh?
We don't have Bezdin meeting.
So Amar Shmuel by Yitzchak Loshana Metzakana says Veelach. This institution of getting married on Wednesday is because the basins convene on Monday and Thursday. Shein Bati didn't convene in Elabashed of Chamishi. Ava Kodim Tekana Zezra, but prior to Tekana Zezra, when did Bezdin meet? Right, Shabbati didn't form Bechol Yom. Bezdin met every day. So Isha Nises Bechol Yom. So therefore, if that's true, so then a woman can get married any day. Because again, the whole point is that he wakes up the next morning, and if he needs Basin, Basin's going to be available. Well, if Basin convenes every day, good, so Basin will be available. So the Gemara just is bothered by a simple question, couldn't Tekanas Ezra, my Dahava Hava. Before Tekanas Ezra, okay, that's a nice history lesson, but we're learning Gemara. We want to know how this applies to us. So, Hachi Kamer, the Gemara says, yeah, okay, there is application. Iga Bati didn't tikvui na'ida kekorim tekanas Ezra, Isha nises b'chol yom. Good. The Gemara says that if we move into a situation like Kodim Ezra, meaning once we have basin convening every day, so therefore marriage doesn't have to be limited to just Wednesday, so you can get married every day. Habi Inan Shakdu, the Gemara is bothered by another very simple question. So even Sunday's a good time to get married. What about Shakdu? What about the special Takan of the Chachamim that we learned yesterday's daf, which we're reviewing right now, which is that the Chachamim instituted that there has to be preparation prior to the wedding. You just can't go into a wedding. You need to prepare. Nowadays, it's weeks, it's months. In the good old days, 3 days. You need 3 days of preparation. So Habi Neshaktu, so the Gemara says the Tarech Law. So the Gemara says, correct. And we're going to assume that you'll get married on a Sunday, and you're a Tarech. When were you Tarech? Rashi says. Look at the last Rashi in the Amud. Im Tarech Lefnei Shabbos V'tikin Tzor Chesuda Kon Sabecha B'Shabbos O B'Shen B'Shabbos. So you prepare on Friday, you prepare on Thursday of the previous week. You anticipate that the wedding's going to be on Sunday. Okay.
When I apply the same leniency for a Sunday wedding, so the wedding meets on Monday, but 2 days.
Right. Why the Gemara it dawned on the Gemara that you could prepare on Thursday and Friday now, and then yesterday didn't dawn on the Gemara at that point? That's an excellent question. I don't know. What about getting married on Friday? That's a point of controversy. If you want to see a small discussion about that, you could take a look at the last Tosfos on this Amud, where it's a very heavy topic. Not very heavy, but it's a topic of discussion whether or not Friday is a good day to get married. Erev Shabbos. It used to be in the good old days. Friday was an excellent day to get married. You know why? Because they were
combined.
Right. They were right. In other words, we live in such opulence and wealth that to us it doesn't dawn on us that that Friday night's like the only good meal of the week. Baruch Hashem, we have other good meals of the week as well. But in the good old days, right, the food really was at a premium, and so what they once upon a time did is they double dipped. They made a chas on Friday, and Friday night turned into then the seuda Shabbos and the seuda of the wedding as well. All right. Anyway, my shaktu. Okay. Sorry, light went out again. I'm taking off the glasses, and I'm gonna go right ahead. So my shaktu. So the Gemara says my shaktu. Well, the Gemara's question is as follows. I'm good. I can see. I have enough light. So my shaktu. The Gemara says, what does it mean shaktu? Now, what Rashi explains over here is the question of the Gemara is like this. We know about shaktu, but right now, not because of any brisa. Do we have a brisa that speaks to the idea of shaktu? The Tanya of the Gemara says, yes, we do. Mimnei ma'amru. I'm sorry, Ditanya. And now what the Gemara is going to do on the top of Gimel Amud Beis is the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and this Braisa is going to be the source of discussion for the next 4 or 5 blot of Gemara. Daf Dala, Tamar's Daf Hey Vav. I think it goes all the way to Zion. Yep, I think so. So the Gemara for the next 3 Dapim are going to be all discussing this one particular Braisa. So know this Braisa well. The reason why we're quoting this Braisa now is just simply to show that this idea of Shaktu, that the Chachamim instituted 3 days of preparation, could be traced back to a Braisa. So my Shaktu, Detanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Bimnei Ma'amru Besulim, Isus Yamarvi. Why is it that a woman gets married on a Wednesday? Shimar Lo Tanis Besulim. So that in the event that the husband on the next morning is of the firm belief that his wife was not a besula, he'd be able to rent a basin which convenes on a Thursday morning. So the Braisa asked the question, why not get married on Sunday? So the Gemara says, the Chachamim were literally shocked, it means concerned. They concerned themselves with the idea that Benos Yisrael should have a nice wedding, and so there should be preparation prior to the wedding. So Shlosha Yama, 3 days, Echad B'Shabbos, V'Sheni B'Shabbos, V'Shishi B'Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or Revi'a Kotsam, and getting married now on Wednesday. So good. So we have the idea of Shaktu in a Braisa. That was the reason why we called it the Braisa. But now that we're here, there is more to the Braisa. So here we go. Now we're going to read the second half of the Braisa. And this second half of the Braisa is going to be the source of a lengthy discussion on the Gemara. Next point of the Braisa. Umi sakana ve'elech. Now there was a time of historical danger for the Jewish people. Nagu am lechnos b'shlishi. So weddings got bumped up to Tuesday. Meaning that traditionally weddings are on Wednesday, but because of sakana, because of some sort of historical danger, so they got pushed up to Tuesday. What's the historical danger? Stay tuned. V'lomichu b'yadam chachamim. Chachamim were fine with it. They didn't protest. Okay. It would be helpful if we knew what the sakana was, so we can understand why the chachamim, what an unusual reaction by the chachamim. They didn't protest. If we're talking about a sakana, you can only imagine that the language of the Braisa should be something more like, and they endorse it. We're talking about a time of danger. We'll push it back to Tuesday. That language of lo michu miyadam. They didn't protest. Okay, well, so we need more context in order to really understand it. The Gemara is going to provide it in just a moment. Uvisheni lo yichnos. Now Monday you shouldn't get married. V'machmas ha'ones mutter. But if it's as a result of ones, so then it would be permissible. Now let's say that the husband and wife didn't were not intimate, and the first time of intimacy was on a Friday night. So the Braisa says, no, they're not going to be. We're not going to allow them to be intimate on a Friday night for the first time. Because in doing so, he's going to be inflicting a wound upon her. Inflicting a wound upon her would be Chil Shabbos. And so therefore, the Braisa says that if the first bia is going to be on a Friday night, so it's not going to be on a Friday night, we'll separate them for that Friday night, and we'll push it off to another night. Okay. That last line of the Braisa will be a lengthy discussion in the Gemara later on. We're not going to see that today. That discussion starts either tomorrow or the day after. Okay. Either way, the Adkan, that is the end of the Braisa. Maisakana. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to discuss the first point of the second half of the Braisa. The Braisa says that traditionally marriages are on a wedding for the reason the Braisa explained, because of the Beis Din convening on Thursday. Weddings can't be on Sunday because even though Beis Din convenes on Monday, but we have this principle of Shaktu. And now what we're left discussing is the second half of the Braisa, which is that if it's as a result of a Sakana, so then you could push the wedding up to Tuesday. My Sakana. So the Gemara asks a really simple question. There was a point of historical danger, unfortunately, that was throughout history. But what specifically is the Braisa referring to? So are we assuming that getting married on Wednesday, for whatever reason, the goyim at the time were persecuting us, and part of the persecution was don't get married on Wednesday, and anyone who gets married on Wednesday is going to be killed? Okay, is that what we're looking at? Is that what the Braisa is describing? So the Gemara says that's very hard to imagine, because if that's what the Braisa is describing, nahagu. So then what's the Braisa saying? You know, then the practice was to move it to Tuesday. It's a minug. It's a minug to move it to Tuesday. Should be much more than a minug. Legamre niakre. If life is in the balance in terms of what day of the week we should get married, so then what the Chachamim would have done is just uproot the Takana altogether. Don't get married on Wednesday. If Wednesday is, getting married on Wednesday is lethal, so the Chachamim would not institute it. Not only would they not institute it, they would even uproot the institution. The Gemara says it can't be. That's what we're talking about. So the Gemara says that the religious persecution that we were looking at was the following. The non-Jews declared that anyone who gets married on a Wednesday So prior to the wife being with her husband for the first time, she's going to have to be with a hegemon, the non-Jewish official. And unfortunately in history, this has happened. So the Gemara didn't just conjure up this case. This unfortunately was historically so. So the Gemara says, that's the sakana that the Bryce is describing. So the Gemara says, okay, and obviously that's terrible, but the Gemara is bothered by the language. Hai sakana, onesu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why are we calling that sakana? It's not life-threatening. It's ones. Now that means then is that even if she does have relations with the non-Jewish officer, so she obviously was not a willing participant in it, and she is an ones. And as we discussed already in the beginning of today's daf, ones rachmana patre. She's not going to have any liability. That's not adultery if she was forced into it. So the Gemara says mishum diikat snuas demasrum nafshay la katala ba'astin leday sakana. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. But the Gemara says, once again, we're going to be discussing for the second time today, the overly pious women. So the overly pious women, so what are they going to do? They're not going to have relations with a non-Jewish officer, even if it's rape and violation and it's ones, and it doesn't affect their marriage whatsoever. But what they're going to say is, no, I'm not going to do it. And even if it means taking their lives, so they're going to still take their lives rather than being coerced into having relations. So the Gemara says, "Veligrish lehu daone share." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but that's that. But they're wrong, and understood that it's coming out of a good place. But that's being overly pious." And the Gemara says, "So why don't we just simply explain to them? Look, it's a terrible situation. It's unbelievably unfortunate, but it's not going to affect your marriage, and it's ones. And why don't we explain to them that ones rachman is share?" That it's okay. But you don't have to. The shari here meaning you don't have to give up your life, right? That's an important lesson. So ika prutzos v'ika nami kahanos. So the Gemara says, look, if we start trying to broadcast and educate this message of it's okay, so what the populace is going to do is they're going to go the other way. And not everybody, but the Gemara says prutzos. Once again, we talk about the women on the other side of the spectrum who are not overly pious, but overly immodest. And so once they're given license, so then they're going to exploit that license. Oh, it's okay? And so they're going to go and have relations with him willingly. And so that obviously, that's not good. And we could use stronger terms to describe that. It's more than not good.
It's wouldn't commit it to a husband, though.
Well, I'm going to discuss that point in just a moment. And also, the Gemara points out, that helps anyone who is not married to a Kohen. But we know the halacha, we did this in Yevamos, that a Eshes Kohen, she is going to be forbidden to her husband, even in a case of ones. Okay, so the Gemara says, so the education's not going to help. And so because the education's not going to help, so therefore what the Chachamim did is they allow the marriages to go back to Tuesday in order to avoid the situation. Vili Akre, the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a situation where a woman's going to be placed into a very awkward and uncomfortable situation. And again, uncomfortable it's an understatement. It's more than uncomfortable. Okay, so it's unbelievably unfortunate. So what the Chachamim did is they basically allowed weddings to be pushed back to Tuesday. The Gemara is just wondering, why don't the Chachamim just simply uproot the Takana altogether of getting married on Wednesday? And that way, the women won't have to suffer any indignity. Why is it that the Chachamim kept the institution of getting married on Wednesday? And then what the populace did is, well, we don't want to get married on Wednesday. We don't want to put these women in this very unfortunate situation. So we'll push the wedding back to Tuesday. Just do away with the Takana altogether. The Gemara gives great historical perspective. The Gemara says, Gzeira vita de batla. You're talking about a Gzeira. Gzeiras come, Gzeiras go. But Takana de Rabbanan, become Gzeira lo akrinan. But we're talking about a Takana de Rabbanan. Let the Takana stay. If there needs to be a temporary abeyance of the Takana, fine, the Chachamim will allow that. But the Chachamim aren't going to uproot a Takana because of a mood and a historical period of the Goyim where they want to impose their will upon us. That's going to come, that's going to go. Let the Takana stay. Okay. Perhaps you were wondering this question. The Gemara is bothered. Bishlishi nami asi obal. So I don't understand. The non-Jewish officers are going to go there, and they're going to assert themselves and force themselves upon the women prior to the husband if they get married on Wednesday. So if we're pushing back the wedding to Tuesday, what's wrong? The calendars aren't available for Tuesday. It's only available for Wednesday. So the Gemara says, Misfeka la'aka nafshei. So the Gemara says, once we fluctuate the date of the wedding, and so then he's not going to go through the trouble of trying to guess which day they're going to get married and come. So the Gemara says it's going to help. Moving the wedding to Tuesday creates a variable fluctuation of which day it is. The officer is not going to come. Okay.
Maybe it's only Tuesday, it'll be the same thing.
And maybe that's why the Gemara says Nagu, meaning it's even a better understanding of what Nagu means. Nagu means that, right? It'll be for the people to decide which day the wedding is, and that'll just create a guessing game for the non-Jewish officer. Okay, a big topic which I'm only going to give the highlights for. It is such a major topic, and that is, what did the Gemara say just a moment ago? The Gemara says, why don't we tell the women that it's mutter? And it's a basic assumption of the Gemara is it's mutter, meaning for a woman to engage in relations when she was coerced is mutter. And so why don't we tell the people that it's mutter? Tosus over here, v'lidr shluhu da'onishare. You can see Tosus, and perhaps you were wondering about this question. Tosus says, v'im tomar, v'hamrin beperek ben sora mora. Al kol averz yavor val yareg. When it comes to any avera in the Torah, so what he's supposed to do? Violate the avera rather than getting killed. Life is paramount. And v'chai bahem. And because life is paramount, so in general, if there is an avera or there's your life, you choose the avera over your life. That's the general. That's the general rule. And of course, with every rule, there's an exception. Here, of course, there are three exceptions. We're all familiar. And those three exceptions are chutz me'avodas kochavim gila ras shvichas damim, except for the big three. And the big three: idolatry, illicit sexual behavior, and shvichas damim and murder. Where those, you are supposed to give up your life rather than violate those three. And so Tosfos over here asks a very fundamental question. How can it be that you're going to tell the women it's okay? It's not okay. She's married. She's a married woman. What are we talking about right now? We're talking about Nisuin. That means a year ago already, she's a married woman. She's a married woman. She can't allow herself to be with another man. Okay. That's Tosfos' question. So Tosfos, it's an unbelievably powerful question. Here Tosfos gives two answers, and there are more than these two answers. But in Tosfos itself, there are two answers. Both of them need a lot of discussion. Tosfos dedicates a lot of discussion to both of these answers. I'll just quickly highlight the two answers of Tosfos, and there's obviously much more to discuss. Answer number one of Tosfos is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a tremendous chiddush, and he says that Gilu Arayis, but Eishes Ish is only when a woman has relations with another Jewish man. But Rabbeinu Tam says that if her having relations with a non-Jewish man is not a violation of Eishes Ish. Now, he's obviously not condoning, but it doesn't make her usher to her husband It doesn't make her usher to her husband if she has relations with a non-Jewish man.
Against her will.
It's a good point. It's not clear from Tosfos. It sounds like Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam is saying that as a rule. Okay, that's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Again, there's obviously much more to discuss, but that's his first answer. Second answer of Tosfos, you can see it later on. It starts in the second midlines of Tosfos. Another answer is Ones is different. Why is Ones different? Because she's a passive participant. Gilui Arayos needs an active violation of the Isser in order for one to accept death over Gila Arayas. But here she is a passive participant. To use the language of Tosfos, he says, she is a passive participant in the Agvalo of the Maisa, and she's not doing an action. Only when you do an action, then you have to give up your life rather than violating Gilui Arayis. But if there's no action, so then you don't need to. Give up your life. Those are two very fundamental answers to this very fundamental question. Again, there are more answers to this question as well, but it's obviously a really important point that I did was just highlight. Tosfos discusses that as well. Okay, we discussed today, the first half of today's daf was dedicated to the topic of Rava's other version of Yesh Onus Begin, which the Gemara went through, and then the Gemara points out that nowadays that basin convenes every day, we get married every day, even Sunday, says the Gemara, and then the Brisa, which starts on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, where the Brisa describes how marriage was on Wednesday, but if in times of need, it could be done on Tuesday, it could be done on Monday, and we just finished discussing why they would push a Wednesday, a wedding from Wednesday back to Tuesday.